Elizabeth Elliot says that God knows the end from the beginning. He loves us, He is wise, He's powerful, and He calls us to put our faith in Him, to set our feet on that rock which will never move. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot. As you put your faith in the solid rock, study the unchanging word with us today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today with my daughter, Valerie Shepherd. We had a letter from one of our listeners, Valerie, who says that when the program Gateway to Joy first began, I was very enthusiastic and a faithful fan. However, the program has become a real turnoff. Elizabeth Elliot has for the past 18 months taken on a superiority attitude. She talks down to me as if she has arrived as a Christian and the rest of us haven't applied as much effort. Therefore, we will never measure up to her. And as for the programs done recently with her daughter Valerie, I found them so offensive. The air of condescension and the unrealistic expectations that were conveyed made me realize that somehow their lives are out of balance. This same listener said, as Christians, we have been given the responsibility to present a ministry of reconciliation, not alienate believers because they haven't yet attained a certain level of spirituality. Well, God help us all. That letter, of course, put me on my knees, asking the Lord to deliver me from presenting that kind of a message. And if anyone were to assess my level of spirituality accurately, I would tremble to think what might be broadcast. So we are just two women here, mother and daughter, who love the Lord. We are very far from having been totally conformed to the image of Christ. Mm-hmm. And it's our prayer and hope that daily we will be moving a little bit closer to that image. Mm-hmm. We have another letter here from a woman, quite a long letter, about sibling rivalry. She says, I don't like that word rivalry. To me, it's like playing defense instead of offense. You're trying to fix a problem instead of trying to develop good character. And she has a whole bunch of numbered questions. The first one is, what are the biblical reasons for desiring good sibling relationships? Would you like to talk about that, Val?
Well, yes, I believe that the family, no matter what size it is a microcosm of the church if it's a Christian home. So the mother and father are in the process of training their children up to speak the truth in love to one another. And siblings must learn to love one another just as we in the church have to learn to love one another. So if the parents are together in training their children to do this, I think the children will be such helps in the churches that they go into as adults, because they will have learned at home that they must deal with rivalry or conflict immediately, and they must be reconciled immediately to their brothers and sisters. And because I was an only child, it's still a shock to me to see my children have conflicts and to argue and to be nasty with each other. I was just telling my children that last night, that it's still a shock. And my oldest girl, Elizabeth, who's 13, she said, well, you better get used to it, Mama.
Sounds like Elizabeth.
And Walter, the 15-year-old, said, Elizabeth, that's not the way to answer it, or that's not the way to look at it. And I said, that's right. We need to still work at loving one another and trying not to be in arguments, even though in our natural flesh, that's the way it's going to be. But because we're a microcosm of the church, I really believe we have to teach our children to be kind to each other, to speak the truth in love to one another, to encourage each other, to stir up one another to love and good works. And when I say all these phrases, it's not that I have done this with my children, but these are the goals that we're working towards. And we've had times when I've said to my children, now, what could you say that's encouraging? What could you say that would build her up right now rather than tear her down? And they're usually absolutely blank. They can't think of a thing that would be encouraging. So we keep working at it. Okay, the second question this lady asked is, what applications can we make from Psalm 133? Well, that's a very short little psalm about how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. And it's so very true when you do see unity among brothers or among sisters. There have been some very rare moments when my 15-year-old Walter and my 8-year-old Jim have actually talked to each other straight without one of them being upset or without one of them condescending towards the other. And when one is really listening to the other one and trying to be respectful, it's just a wonderful miracle, it seems to me, because I see it so rarely. And that's why God said it's how good and how pleasant it is. It's like the oil that runs down upon the beard. It's a beautiful thing. I think we're to keep working at helping our children to see the difference between how non-Christians would behave towards one another and how the world says we should behave towards one another, you know, me first and get your way, and how Jesus wants us to be, to lay down our lives for one another and to respect the other person's opinion or desire and try to make that other person happy.
Do you think, Val, that there's any better place than a family for learning to live together in love?
No, there isn't any other place. It's the best place in the world. That's why God made families, I think.
Do you have any more questions?
Yes. She says, how do you deal with children who are very, very different? Different temperaments, different interests, different friends, different ages. Well, I don't worry about temperaments too much. I know that each of my children definitely has a different temperament, but I'm not always trying to label them, because then I would always have to be reminding myself, now this temperament is going to act this way. So I think just dealing with each one of them in truth, talking to them in how Christ would want them to act, I think we have to deal with them in love, and we teach them, all of them, no matter how different they are or what different friends they are, they still have to obey their parents. They still have to respect one another. They still have to love one another and to love us. And I have to continually ask the Lord for wisdom in what each child needs. I believe the Lord gives the wisdom even without our even recognizing that we're getting specific wisdom from the Lord about something, but just in our doing, in our showing love, in our accepting that child, He's helping us to deal with them in the right way. And the next question has a whole bunch of different little problems. I'm not sure I can answer them all, but the question is, how do I deal with the behaviors of preschoolers? Right now is when we are laying our foundation for future relationships. How do I respond to A, tattling, B, one grabs toy and the other one screams loud enough for the neighbors to hear, and we live in the country, C, one grabs the toy and the other one hits, D, one stops in the hallway and puts his arms out so the other one can't pass by. E, one is talking and the other interrupts. Soon there's a battle for who can talk the loudest to get his turn to talk. F, they're wrestling in fun until somebody gets hurt and it turns into a hitting match. My examples of the everyday battles to resolve could go on and on. Tattling has been a difficult thing for me to teach. I want my children to come and tell me how bad another one is being, because I want to be able to correct the one that's being bad. But I also want to help my children to understand the teachings of Proverbs about being loyal to one another and trying to speak the truth to each other and deal with it one-on-one as they talk to each other and try to ask each other to be kinder or sweeter. And so I haven't really found a good resolution to tattling. Although in general, we have said, don't come and tattletale, try to work it out right there. When one grabs a toy and the other one screams loud enough for the neighbors to hear, I would say they're both wrong. I would go up to them and say, now you were both wrong there. Colleen, you shouldn't have grabbed the toy away from Evangeline. Evangeline, you shouldn't have screamed like that. Now I'm going to take away the toy from both of you until you're both willing to give it up to the other one. And that, of course, makes them both cry. But for me, it's the best solution for helping them to see that they have to be unselfish with each other. And until they're ready to be unselfish, they can't have the toy that they're fighting over. If one of them stops the other one in the hallway to keep that one from going, then I would stop that one and say, if I'm around, so often I'm working in the kitchen, this happens upstairs, and I'll hear the screams upstairs. Sometimes I ignore it, hoping they'll work it out. Sometimes I do stop and go and see who was wrong, and of course they're both blaming the other one, and I'll try to talk to the one that I think was wrong about it, and I'll say, how would Jesus want you to behave? Would Jesus have done that to someone else? You are to treat each other as Jesus treats us, and that's with love and kindness. And of course, that always stops them, gets them quiet, although they will still have a resentful spirit about them, but I think it helps them to think.
I'm reminded, Val, of what my mother used to do when there was any kind of a squabble, as she called it. She would separate us in different rooms, and whoever was the one who tattled, if somebody had tattled, then she would take that child first, and she would say, now I want to know what you did. And usually the child would start in by saying, well, he, and at that point mother would stop them immediately and say, I don't want to hear what he did. I want to hear what you did. Well, we're getting right down into the nitty-gritty of parenthood, what a Christian home is supposed to look like, and what a Christian home very often actually looks like. We are sinners, aren't we, all of us, still? And we're still in the process of being redeemed and transformed. And parents are given the great privilege and high and holy responsibility of being cooperators with God in being shapers of destiny. That's the way I think of fathers and mothers, shapers of destiny. Think of the honor that God has given you. It should humble us and put us on our faces before Him, recognizing that we can't lean on our own understanding. We must acknowledge Him, and He will direct our paths.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.